سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. Should I say fortunately or unfortunately, the numbers are increasing at a time when I am about to end my class. This is probably my last class. Next week I'm going for Hajj, inshallah. But I think Abbas has agreed to teach. Monday the 28th of February 2000. We're discussing Surah Al-Baqarah, and we're discussing the attitude and mentality of the Jews. And today we shall come to yet another surprising thing that probably we may not have thought of. Okay, how could the Jews have that kind of attitude and that approach? You see, we have seen in brief over the past few sessions that we've had is how arrogant these Jews were. But then we saw how much love of this world they had. Okay, how much attached they were to their own possessions, that they were not willing to consider anything else. They were not willing to give up anything else. They went, they had that arrogance that they only are on the right path, nobody else. Right? And so, as we will see today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poses a challenge to them that if you are so true, if you are right, if what you claim is right, that you are the only chosen ones, you are the special one, and by so saying, you have now secured yourself a future in the hereafter, then don't mind death. Wish for death. Because death is the transition from this to the other world. And if you are so confident that you are the chosen ones, you are on the right path, and that you have secured your future in the hereafter, فَتَمَنَّهُ الْمَوْتَ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. If you are true to your claim, then wish for death. And this claim, this challenge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Jews has been put forward not once, but several times in the Holy Quran. And I'm sure if you recall Surah Al-Jum'ah that we recite every Friday, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. O those of you who call yourself Jews, if you claim that you are the chosen ones of all the people, then wish for death if you are truthful. Now, in Surah Al-Baqarah, we are in verse number 94. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. This was their claim. Their claim was not that they were the only, not only that they were the chosen ones, their claim was that the hereafter, the abode that the Prophet was describing, Jannah and paradise and peace and relaxation and whatever it is for them alone, exclusively for them. Khalisatan. Min duni nas, nobody else shall share with them the blessings and bounties of the hereafter. Fatamannahu al-mawta in kuntum sadiqin. It's the most logical thing. If you think that is what is promised for you and it is yours, then wish for that if you are truthful. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. It is the same verse that is repeated in Surah Al-Jum'ah as well. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوْهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Why shall they not wish to give this world up? Is because of what they have done by themselves. Right? بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. What they have sent forth. قَدَّمَ is a word. قَدَّمَ is to bring forth. Right? So, بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. What their hands have brought forward. Brought forward not as in presenting to you, but brought forward as in sending it to hereafter. What have we sent? What do we send? Whatever we send there is what we do our own selves. So if you understand the expression, قَدَّمَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, is to not give forward as in present to somebody, but is to send in advance them. And because of what they have sent themselves, they shall never wish for that. Now, This implies, this verse implies that the Jews knew exactly what wrong they were doing. The Jews knew exactly that what they were doing was not right. Because of that, they don't want to give up this world. Because of what they have done, they want to remain here. Right?
Yes. Now, interesting was which Muslims are now in today's position. Because Ramadan says only Muslims will go to heaven, right?
Yeah.
In a sense, sometimes we say, if you're not a Muslim,
the
arguments start, what about Gandhi and what about this? This is because we believe only the Muslims go. This challenge I could understand why the Jews thought that, because probably at their time, they also looked at every other religion or every other as wrong. Like Allah's religion, obviously it was the religion of the day. And every other religion was based on some false ideas. So
even try to understand it from this perspective. They had arrogance because they saw themselves as the most civilized society. And probably in behavior they were. As far as humanitarian behavior was concerned, looking after neighbors, social welfare, the Jews were probably the most civilized society. More so than the Arabs, definitely. Right? And so they felt superior to Arabs. And they said, Jannat is for us, paradise is for us, nobody else. But what you're saying is that, and if you look at the verse in Surah Al-Jum'ah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ If you claim أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ That you are the chosen ones of Allah, nobody else, right? Now, if you claim that, then logic dictates that together with that claim, you must wish death. You must be willing to meet death, to face it, right? Now, that is applicable to us. If we claim that we are on the right path, we claim that our path is the right path. In fact, out of 73 sects, there is only one sect, right? Now, we are confident in our claim that it is the right path. And therefore, together with the claim, forget Yahudi, forget Nasara, in za'amtum annakum awliya'u lillah, if you claim that you are the chosen ones, then we are on the right path. فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتَ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ Then if you are truthful, why do you have to worry about the hereafter? We believe in the hereafter, we know that what we are doing, what we believe in on this earth is the right belief. Therefore, we go ahead. Should we fear that? Why do we fear that?
Well, there's a good reason. We believe not that we are on the right path, but our path is the right path. We may not be on that path. So we
بِمَا لَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِ That is why Gautama Das was saying that is equally applicable to us. We will not wish for the transition because we are aware of what we have set forward. The path is the right path. And if we claim that just by being on the path we have secured our future, then we will say that Jannat is for us and nobody else. But if we make that claim, then to support that claim, we should wish for death. We should not fear death. That is the meaning of these two verses that you find repeated not only this once but several times in the Holy Quran. And we repeat, and this again is learning from history that this happened to the Jews, but it is equally applicable to us. I remember last time we discussed this about Azadari and said, okay, Mombasa. When I was in Mombasa, I remember so clearly. There's a group of these young boys who were, very openly knew they were not religious, they were, the drugs, and there were so many other things. In Mombasa, at that time, these young boys would come, day of Ashura, do Zanjir, Josh the Madhu, yeah? And what would they believe? They would believe that their sins were being forgiven, the way blood was pouring out of their chests. It's not a criteria. Look at our lives today, now. How many of us are prepared to die? Prepared, huh? And preparation can only be that we are ready to die. Right? Now, ready to die is that there is nothing I am attached to in this world. and nothing that I have done that I have to fear. وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْسَنُونَ. These two words are such appropriate words. وَلَا خَوْفٌ, no fear for the future. وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ, no shall they repent what they have done. That is why when you talk of mu'mineen, it is وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Neither do they fear what lays awaiting for them, nor do they repent what they have done. Right? So, the criterion for true belief and understanding is our readiness to die. We are ready to die. That means we may have sinned, but we may have cleaned our slate of sin. We may have sought forgiveness. Right? And therefore we are now ready to die. Right? And then Allah explains the Jews, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. You will find them, that is the Jews. Allah is now addressing the Prophet. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ, you will surely find them, that is the Jews. أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى الْحَيَاةِ. Right? أَحْرَصَ لِ most
greedy.
Ahras al-jinn, yeah, my possession, this is my possession. I am so attached to it that even when I go to sleep, I sleep with this on my hand. In my hands. Right? Now, this is called hirs. Ahras al-nas, greedy, not as in ahsan. Greedy, not as in desire for more. Greedy as in protective, you know, attachment.
The meaning is really possessive.
Possessive. أحرص الناس على الحياة. Attachment. Eloquent life, they attached to life so much that if you read the rest of the verse, it says, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Right? What they want is to live for 1,000 years.
وَمِنَ
الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. That is, you will find them, the Jews and those who are Muslim.
I'm a Judaism in the meaning.
That's what I thought. In Malay, even greedier than those who are idol worship. And from them, idol worshippers, no? وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ.
No.
It's not from them?
No,
it's
from them?
From them.
From them, name. From the idol worshippers. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, right?
Am I just put as if greater than you are, because of
no, أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. The واو العطف, it goes to تَجِدَنَّهُمْ. You listen. You will find them, وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, and those who are polytheists, yeah? That's the meaning.
For meaning, Sutaisha.
Read that whole sentence in English.
Ayasulagasha, and you will surely find them the greediest of men for life, even greedier than those who are idol worshippers.
No.
Here it says, and of the idol.
And?
Of the idol.
So, no, how does it start?
And thou wilt surely find them greediest of mankind for life, and of the idolaters, comma, each one of them is covetous to live even 1,000 years.
Meaning is different,
you know? You see, it is the...
Anu meaning, yet Namadhi Mal Bolech, it means that... But they are Manso Matini, also from the idol worshippers as well. Allah Kakarta Pune. Ama Itaj Bolech, in a sense. But why talk separately of idol worshippers if you're already talking about men? Allah Kadavi Yama, can it?
Even more than.
That's what he's saying, even more than.
You look at the three dots.
You can read it.
You notice the three dots. You can read it two ways, yeah?
Bejuda meaning.
Bejuda meaning. Which are both applicable.
Now, the second meaning, it means that the idol worshippers live 1,000 years.
The idol worshippers are also, that's what I was telling you, that the idol worshippers are also greedy for life, yeah? It could mean anything. You see, the wow is the one that is bothering me. If there was no wow, this meaning would be very clear as has been translated. with the vow, I feel, the way I understand it, on first reading, right, that it is going back to all تَجِدَنَّهُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُ. So you will find them and those who are polytheists, right, greedy for life. Now, there are two interesting things here. First of all, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Why did Allah use 1,000 years? They want to live, or they wish to live for 1,000 years.
Right? It says in brackets, even 1,000 years. It's just
English presentation.
Symbolic. 1,000 years.
So, yeah, it is symbolic. Now, why did 1,000 years? It's the largest, the way Ayatollah Tabatabai explains, is the largest unit for it, because everything more than 1,000 is described in either thousands, tens of thousands, or hundreds of thousands, or million, or whatever it is, thousands of thousands, right? 1,000 is sort of the maximum unit, yeah? Largest unit. That's how we explain it. And therefore the 1,000 years does not mean 1,000 years, it means largest life possible, as long as possible, right? And the other thing was, they wish for long life because, you see, we have a problem, and this is human psychology, yeah? We have a problem, we think if we try to postpone something, we will not face it. So if we have a problem, there is an issue, if we try to avoid the issue, thinking that it will go away, it won't go away. It will stay. The Jews were thinking that if we have a long life, we will not get the punishment, or we might run away from the punishment. That is exactly what Allah is saying by saying, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْيُعَمَّرِ. If he lives long, he is not going to get away from the punishment even a little bit. Right? So, the Jew here in this world is assuming that if I live long in this world, I may be staying away longer from the punishment. Right? On the contrary, Allah is saying, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ. Not even a little distance away is he going to go away. Right?
Is this supposed to be a lesson for all humans?
Absolutely, absolutely. There is no doubt. The whole objective of narrating the Jews' story in the Holy Quran, and so many times, with so much emphasis, is that we understand their mentality, their attitude, right? And learn from it. You will find, I did that comparison, if you remember, some time back, of our society with the mentality of Jews. And you'd be surprised. That's how much in common we have in the way we think now and the way they thought then. Exactly. It is as if Allah is describing us. Right? But if you look at that, it is in fact Allah describing human nature. That this is general human behavior, and the Jews made the same mistake. Despite claiming belief, that they believe and that you know they want to go to Jannah and they are the chosen ones, they entered into the same rut that we are in.
Is he using the Jews because that's the oldest example we have, or the most
possibly the most, I would say the most favored society or race in the history of religion that Allah has sent. Most of the prophets he sent to Bani Israel, and also that it is a history that is available to all. It's not only just to Muslims, it is available to all. Any other questions before we go on? وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. So Allah knows what they're doing. Allah can see what they're doing. Right. Now the next verse. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلِ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now here is a new aspect of the Jews' behavior. قُلْ مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرَيْلِ. Right? That means Allah is implying that the Jews were in actual fact opposing Jibreel. Now this is a new twist. I mean, as far as as a reciter, when I recite the Holy Quran, I can understand their arrogance, I can understand their attitude to the Prophet, I can understand their attachment with this world, this life. Suddenly this new twist comes in and says, whoever was against or an enemy of Jibreel. Now why Jibreel specifically? What did the Jews do to get this title? Did they oppose Jibreel openly? Did they talk to the Prophet? And that is the interesting part. The Jews, and I read to you a narration that is narrated here in Tafsir al-Nizam. I read to you because it is an interesting one, and it is at a time when the Prophet was met, or rather the Jews came to meet the Prophet and ask him questions. These Jews from Fadak, the area of Fadak, which you know was land belonging to the Jews, yeah? They came to the Prophet and they asked him, and they said, we are asking you to test you, because we have the qualities and the attributes of the promised Savior. So we are asking you, and if you reply correctly, we will know that it is you. Fine. The Prophet says, ask. The Prophet, they ask the Prophet, Ya Muhammad, kaifa nawmuk? How do you sleep? Right? And he replied, فَقَالَ تَنَامُ عَيْنَاي تَنَامُ عَيْنَاي وَقَلْبِي يَقْضَان. That my two eyes are asleep, but my heart is open. Right? This Prophet describing his sleep. قَالُوا صَدَقْتِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. So far so good. See, they're testing it. This is one, second, third, the four questions, yeah? So they said, صَدَقْتِ يَا مُحَمَّدْ فَأَخْبِرْنَا عَنِ الْوَلَدِ يَكُونُ مِنَ الرَّجُلَ وَالْمَرْأَةِ. Tell us about a child. Is a child from the mother or the father? فَقَالَ أَمَّا الْعَظَامُ وَالْعَصَبُ وَالْعُرُوقُ فَمِنَ الرَّجُلُ وَأَمَّا اللَّحَمُ وَالْدَمُ وَالظَّفَرُ وَالشَّعَرُ فَمِنَ الْمَرَأَةِ. فَغَمَنْ يَدِيشَ. The Holy Prophet said, as for bones, the nerves and عَصَب وَالْعُرُوق, veins, right? These are from the man. وَأَمَّا اللَّحَمُ, as for flesh, وَالْدَمُ and blood, والظفر, the nails, والشعر, and the hair, is from the woman. Right? قالوا صدقت يا محمد. Now, these are answers to questions they have already. Answers given to them by their earlier messengers, the prophets they believed in, right? فما بال الولد, now they're asking, فما بال الولد يشبه أعمامه وليس له من شبه أخواله شيء. What about a child who resembles his father's brothers so much, and he does not resemble in no way at all his mother's brother? You have just described. So the Prophet had described that the hair, the blood, the nails, right, the flesh is from the mother's side. So he says, what about a child who resembles his father's brothers and does not resemble in any way the mother's brothers? And so the Prophet replied, the Jews asked, or he resembles his mother, the akhwal, as in mother's brothers, totally, and does not resemble the father's brother at all. So how would you describe that? So the Prophet says, أَيُّهُمَا عَلَى مَاءُهُ كَانَ الشِّقُلَ. Whoever out of the couple, the hormones were more than the other, he would resemble that parent, right? Now the word used in Arabic is ma. Remember that term. Ma literally means, ma literally means water, right? So whichever partner's water was more in the conception, then the child would resemble. Now, what is meant by water here, I leave it to the medical experts. I believe it's called hormones, right?
Genetic.
Huh?
Genetic.
Or genes. Thank you. Right, in any case, let's go on. قالوا صدقت يا محمد. The Jews said, you are right. That means your answer is the same as we were given before, right? Then they asked, فَأَخْبِرْنَا أَنْ رَبُّكَ مَا هُوَ. Tell us about your Lord. Who is he? فَأَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Right? That is the time when Surah قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ was revealed. إِلَىٰ آخَرِ السُّرَةِ. فَقَالَ لَهُ إِبْنِ سُرَيَّ. Ibn Surayya was the name of the leader of the delegation that had come asking the Holy Prophet a serious discussion. خصلة واحدة إن قلتها آمنا بك. One more thing. If you tell us, if you answer us correctly, we will bring faith. أي ملك يأتيك بما ينزل الله عليك. Which, who is the angel who comes to you with revelation from Allah? فقال جبرائيل. The Holy Prophet said, جبرائيل. قال ذاك عدو. Jews said, that is our enemy. فإن قلت ذاك عدونا ينزل بالقتال والشدة والحرب. That is our enemy, for he brings messages of killing and extremities and war. وميكائيل ينزل بالسير باليسر باليسر والرخاء. فلو كان ميخائيل هو الذي يأتيك لآمنا بك. It is Mikael who brings good tidings with ease and relaxation and no difficulties. If you had said Mikael, we would have believed.
In their history, કેમ નબી સાલેસલામ નો ગ્લેડ ટાઇડિંગ્સ ઈ લાયો તો નબી મરિયમ ને બીબી મરિયમ ને
જિબ્રાઈલ ના ફાંઝલ ફતમત લહુ રૂહા ના બશર
પછી એક કિંગ હતો જે યહૂદીઓ ને ફાઇટ કરતો તો એવું કઈ છે ડેફિનેટલી અલગ હિસ્ટ્રી માં ધેર વોઝ આઈ મીન અલ્લાહ ના કમાન્ડ ઉપર
But they were not disputing that Jibreel actually came from Allah, or they were disputing.
The way I understand it, let's try and evaluate the whole. We know Allah says in the Quran that the Jews were against Jibreel, right? So they must have something towards Jibreel, right? From this particular story that Ayatollah Tabatabai chose to mention, that these Jews said, if it was Mikael, we would have believed in you. That means the message is right, only the medium is wrong. I personally feel that the Jews were looking for something to reject the message. Such an attitude. Okay, they wanted to believe. They knew it was right. They proved it. But they were looking for something. Which has nothing to do with them. It is between the Holy Prophet and Allah. Allah could be revealing through another medium, but He chose that medium.
It's not even between the Holy Prophet.
It is Allah's discussion only.
Torah much hai ki Mikael is the great captain who stays, whose job is to stand guard over the Jews, according to the book of Daniel. And they dislike Jibreel, who announced the birth of John the Baptist, conveyed the glad tidings about birth of Isa. Saved Nebuchadnezzar from the clutches of the Jews. He talks about this guy Abdullah ibn Surayya.
Abdullah ibn Surayya,
yeah, who comes to the Prophet. Jesus,
Daniel,
Mikael,
Cain.
One of the four archangels. Mikael, son of Stasha, what is his role? Because there are four archangels. Gabriel, Mikael, Israel, and Israfil. Right? I think Mikael is the trumpet blower, right?
Supplies nourishment and provision. Supplies nourishment and provision.
Roji no malaika.
Yeah, like Israel. But then on our account, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, right? Israfil gives forms and shapes to the creation. Israfil. Israel, sister. He disengages beings from one state of existence into another.
Very good one, Jin.
He kills people like Nakutu.
He can't kill people, man.
Politically correct statement.
Actually, it's a very disengages.
He disengages living beings from one state of existence to initiate into another state of existence.
It's like a clutch, isn't it? Disengage.
Here it's used the word detachment. In charge of the detachment of beings from one state
to another.
Is
that
being
your English name, Bishop, or corresponding? It's a very Arabic name, right?
Israfil.
Israfil. No, I haven't come across an English name.
Israfil, in fact, is a trumpet blower as well, guy.
Huh? That's what I thought. I'm surprised.
Yeah, yeah. And you like which about form and all that?
There's two trumpets anyway.
I don't think Israel, is there an equivalent of Israel in Israel? I think they talk about the angels Michael and Gabriel.
But
I don't think there's Israel.
Israel, not Israel.
Israel is this Israel, like Nabi Yaqub.
But Ayatollah Tabatabai goes on to discuss when the Prophet says that my eyes are asleep but my heart is not. What does he mean by that?
I think he means conscious.
He says that even in the state of his sleep, he is not in the state of ghafla. Means that he is aware that he is asleep. And that if any communication were to be established by Allah in his sleep, cannot be attributed to either nightmare or just dreams. You see, it has to be communication from Allah. So he was always asleep in a state that his subconscious was awake. And if that dream took place, he would be aware that this is communication. That is why he said that my sleep is, whilst my eyes are closed, my heart is open. Just a description of this statement that the Prophet made.
Right.
If you read the following verses, it talks more or less about the same kind of attitude that the Jews had. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to establish a point here. That when you believe in Allah, you have to believe, or rather accept, the messengers He appoints. Irrespective of your preferences, whether you like Jibreel or not, is not acceptable. So Allah then names Jibreel and Mikael and Rusulihi, that it is in prophets that He sent. Wa malaikati. So no animosity or enmity with anybody is tolerated in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man kana aduwan lillahi wa malaikatihi wa rusulihi wa Jibreel wa Mikael fa inna Allah aduwan lil kafirin. Wa laqad anzalna ajib.
I think when we talked about angels ages back, we came to this verse. Imagine, you've seen how Mikael and Jibreel have been sort of distinguished away from angels.
The rest of the angels,
As if they were not off to normal ilk of angels, or perhaps not even run-of-the-mill angels. Is there a Chaita Batabaika verse?
I can't. Nothing.
They come after Allah, angels, messengers, and then again angels.
Right. Because, sir?
Yeah,
he doesn't mention anything. I think we did discuss this. What did you discuss this?
Ages back when we discussed.
We were discussing about Ibn Adam and Nija'al, the Khalifa.
We did something on angels.
We did actually a class only on angels.
Perfect.
Remember, we were trying to discuss the differences between Ruh and general angels. I remember this came up in the conversation.
Yeah.
Do we have a quick answer for what the Bas just mentioned? What's the difference between a ruh and an angel? Why is it? What's the ruh? Is it not the same?
Ruh and malaika.
Ruh and Qudus.
They are not the same.
Who? What is it?
Ruh is another creation of Allah.
It's not a jinn, it's not a malaika, it's something totally different. And we don't really know what it is.
Well, yeah, nobody knows, apart from, of course, the chosen of
Allah. And what are the descriptions in the Quran? Just that he comes and goes?
It just mentions Ruh, its appearance at certain times, like...
No, it mentions it as a strengthening force for Nabi Isa.
That is one.
وَيَدْرُوا بِرَوْلِ الْقُدُسِ
تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ صَفًّا صَفًّا.
So there's not just the one, there's many rooms.
No, but there's many different rooms, not just the one.
No,
that one room.
It's ar-ruh.
It's a strengthening force Allah sends down. If he sends you the ruh, with that you are...
You're endorsed.
Your ability is enhanced.
And what about the ruh that people say is inside them? What's that ruh? That's not something different, totally different.
That is, فَإِذَا نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي right? That is not ar-ruh.
Amacha ni barbe mam al islam ana barama dua kera chhe kaje dua ek tahmo aaj ruh je nabi sare mailu to ke musalman tumhe dua karo ke aaj ruh strengthen imam zamana also wa ayidhu bi ruh al qudus
wa
ayjru al barbe mam ne barama dua chhe
chhe chhe
taught by himself ke na I think wa ayidhu bi ruh al qudus the same Ruh al-Qudus that you used to strengthen Isa, give it to Imam
Holy Spirit. Right. If you just read through the verses, because the next part that we want to discuss is verse number 102. وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ سُلَيْمَانِ وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِيلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ MashaAllah, I follow this. وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ صدق الله العلي العظيم. Right. Fellow statement, the first statement that Ayatollah Tabatabai makes with regards to this verse is that nowhere in the Holy Quran have the Mufassireen differed so much as they have in this particular verse. Right? Nowhere in the Holy Quran have they differed so much as they have in this particular verse. Why do you think so? Is it not very clear?
Which part are they differing? The Harut Marut part?
Harut-Marut is a history.
Maybe they haven't differed because it's a long ayah, there's a lot to differ about.
Probably one of the reasons why they differed so much is that because it is a long verse. But it starts with Tabau, right? And they followed. Who followed? Are we still talking of the Jews? Are we talking of Muslims? Who are we talking of?
It must be the Jews, it was Suleiman's time.
Yahudiyat Adhyayat. So it is a different Jews. Not the Jews in the time of the Prophet.
Well, they are the descendants. He's saying, you know, you're a lot. Sama Baba.
Exactly, but that is... Right.
I mean, most prophets were from the Bani Israel market.
Most prophets were, yeah. Suleiman was during the time of Jesus.
Yeah,
Shaitan
was during that.
Shaitan kunch. Shayateen. It is not even Shaitan.
Shayateen, they che. Shayateen kamal che. They can do good as well. The Shaitan disbelieved. It was the Shaitan that disbelieved. The meaning that they could have believed.
That's your inference ke
alaka kon hata ola je nabi Suleiman alaka ne chains bana ke ne na ke that ola mystic
jinn hata ke insaan hata
jinn
that is there the difference is ya shayatin kon hata was it a different creature or was it from jinn
and man shayatin
and men a shayatin je che ne these were those who had become from insan. You see, shaitan is a general term used to aaj aapne koi manas masti ka shaitan che chukra nahi ke chhamne ki shaitan che sir. Why do we use that? Is we use that?
Isn't the story of this case so thya ke
aur mane harut ne marut ne story karta tha
tyo su mane lage che ki ala ka thora jinnat je che insano ne sikhara betra ki ame pan tame miracle sikhare ke na karo aa tamaro budai ja prophets aave che we make you into miracle makers and they taught them sorcery. So the prophet of the time was any Allah be angels mukla help karwa mate abe
that is prophet Suleiman, isn't it?
Yeah, he came to help the prophets, not only Nabi Sulaiman. Not only Nabi Sulaiman, the Bija prophets, they were teaching sorcery.
Who was teaching?
The jinn. Shayateen.
The Shayateen, Mustafa says, maybe men also, but anyway, they were teaching. But to counter them, these people came and said, look, let us teach you our sorcery, let us show you the difference between sorcery. We teach you sorcery, but it is a fitna only. This can be done, but what the Prophet is doing is not sorcery, it is a miracle, it is different from that.
But how can the jinn be allowed to say the jinns under the command of Allah?
Jinn?
No,
in Nabi Sulaiman's time they used to come and go quite a bit. Because he used to control both of them.
The jinns are under the command of? No, what is it? The jinns are under the command of? They are free like human beings. They are free to believe and disbelieve.
Yeah.
But the Prophet Sulaiman had that kingdom that no other human being will ever get. That authority over human beings, over animals and over jinns. He had authority over wind as well.
In his assemblies, both used to say, Manson and Jinnah.
So when you see that movie about Prophet Sulaiman and ghosts moving up and down, there is some element of truth in there because jinns were there. Right? Oh yeah, there is also a story that says that these secrets of sorcery were discovered from under the throne of Sulaiman. How to do this and all that was discovered under the throne of Sulaiman, and it was some of the shayateen of the jinn that stole that and started teaching people that this is how we can get what Sulaiman can do. And then these angels were sent to help the prophet. They can't do anything. Basically, this verse is talking about an evil that was taking place, sorcery, right? And amazing thing is, sorcery here Allah describes not as somebody who can break a mountain or who can cure an illness. He's talking about something that can separate between the couple. And that is the amazing part, right? Human beings ne Allah itna banaya hai ki sorcery can break between the two. Can you imagine that? Abe mumba sama ho jab mali pase chahiye na maya pe lakha. Ya chi mumba sama man ko bache ho dash na zon sima ko aur bache. Maya pe lakha hai. Pachi kya aam kar ke ro kukra no loi kapi ne na par chal ne khabar hai so ne so this is all sorcery. Right? But the fact is that it exists. Nobody can deny that.
The Quran says, well, hang on, I thought sorcery is only the bad kind. There's a good kind? I mean, this mullah is doing it, I mean, what?
These guys, they're called Malians. They are the ones
but
who are exactly the shayateen that Allah is referring to. That wa ma kafara Sulaiman walakinna shayateena kafara.
But their intention is not bad, right?
No, many of them will take money, they sell it. You see, if you read the verse,
right.
What have they done? They have taken money for it. These ma'alims, what they do is they write verses of the Quran. Right? And they give that sadko kaatone, aam karone, aam karone, you know, this kind of things. All this, they use Quran and religious practices. The means is the right means, the goal is the wrong goal.
No, I've heard about these people, but I've never heard them taking money.
They take money, they're sizing
it. They're keeping
jinns because
they're keeping jinns also.
It's the same thing.
Talking about other people? There are people too without money.
That is all the shaitan utarwa matene, that is gadwa matene.
So what's that all about?
That's
the answer.
This is different.
I'm talking about that.
No.
That's an egg.
When you are possessed by a jinn, the science or the art, whatever you call it, used to remove that jinn that you are possessed with, is a different thing. That is a good thing.
But that's also sorcery.
It's not.
I mean, it's an egg, and it's something.
It's something that everybody can do. If you want to train jinns, right? It is a science that you can learn and do it, right? But we are discouraged, and I must say it is not, I don't know whether it is haram or not, but it is highly discouraged. nobody should even think of venturing into that. But when it comes to sorcery, as in Uganda, right? And a Bimarka Uche, and a Hara Uche, and those kind of things exist.
I think we need to define it. Okay, what I mean by sorcery is something which is beyond physical understanding. Right? No, something which is beyond the physics and the chemistry and the math that we understand. Now, of that, is there only a bad kind or is there a bad and a good kind? So there is bad and good, because I've never heard about a good kind before. This is the first time I'm hearing about it. I thought there was only the bad kind. And then we were discouraged from it.
It's like the way I think about it, it's just like a set of laws that we haven't figured out yet.
No.
Right.
No.
But there are both bad and good kinds.
The bad thing is it brings you a sense of omnipotence, that is where it starts to go bad. When you begin to think I can do things that people can't do.
No, but that's ridiculous. Today we can talk to people on the other side of the planet, which my grandfather couldn't do.
On
mobile phone. But it doesn't give you arrogance.
In his time, if he was the only one with that phone, it might have. It might have. It's like I can do something that nobody around me can do. And it has the potential to go to my head. Right?
Why not just take everybody out and do it?
So, that makes it commonplace. There are certain things that, some people, they can do it. I think if ever this Mullah Abdusul comes here, we bring this topic up. Because he narrated to me when he was present himself as a young person when jinn was being removed from someone. Right? This kid suddenly came over speaking really weirdly and all that, and I gave his name as well. And they decided he had a jinn in him. So Mullah went with this other chap to remove the jinn. And Mullah said, I stayed further away, I heard him, he held his hand and he said to him, why are you possessing this child? Let him go. So the jinn, speaking from that child, a really awful voice, he said, look, this kid, he threw a stone on me. I was in a tree. And he threw a stone and he hurt me. And for that, I am now tormented.
That was the only time
I've heard of somebody actually being there and happening in front of you and everything.
I'll tell you without giving names, some of you may recognize me, poor guy is still in troubled in America. He was originally from Nairobi. And we're talking of jinns, right? I hope you don't have sleepless nights.
Yeah, my basement, my friend, I get like,
don't worry. Are you?
So in this building here, in this room, they have majlis, matam, chatuj, beva, gratha.
So Abu Hassan, he actually was a very normal man, kainik, right? When he went to Mombasa and he lived there for quite a while. You see, jinns, nobody can deny the existence of jinns, number one. Number two, jinns prefer certain kind of places to live in. Seaside is one of them. Old buildings is another. These are the kind of places jinns are known to reside in, right? They have a normal life. Normal life as in they procreate as well, they marry and procreate as well, right? So this man who went to Mombasa suddenly got into the habit with friends of training, and then of course the consequences of doing that is that if you are weak, mind you, when I say weak I mean weak in faith, because it is your faith that can control a jinn, nothing else. You don't have the powers. The jinns have much more power of fluidity, flexibility, transfer, and so on, right? We do not have that power. The only power that can control the jinn is faith, right? So this person being of weaker faith, although he knew the secret words that could bring about a jinn and all that, but ultimately he ended up being controlled by a jinn. And this is the downside. What happens is, the moment the jinn notices that you are not as powerful as you seem to be, right, the jinn will start taking control. Now this man has ended up with a jinn controlling him who is not willing to leave. Right? But I remember very clearly, after his faith in Mubasa, he was in Nairobi again and used to sit with us, we used to discuss these things and he would tell me. Do you remember the time? Sarali Yusuf Club. I remember Sarali Muslim Club, you know, he parked his car after Madrasa, Nairobi. And I asked him, I said, look, there's one more interesting thing I would like to know if you can answer this question. So what? I said, how long do jinns live? Just out of interest, curiosity. What is their lifespan? And the thing surprised him. You know what he did? He said, just give me a minute. And he started talking. Doing that. And he was talking to his jinn. Right? And then he turned around and he said, the one that is on me has lived 425,000 years. Right, and I said, thank you, Swami. I went on. So then he said, jump on me, you know.
I knew how it should.
That is the kind of lifespan, at least I have heard myself. Right? So that means that the chances of these jinns, these jinns could have heard the Prophet themselves directly. Forget the Prophet, they would have witnessed the creation of Adam. 125,000 years.
Then they just come into our world, that is their own choice, or is it?
They do not have. In fact, the hadith says that if you see a falling star, right? Falling star is a sign that a jinn may have tried to penetrate through to the arsh of Allah, the throne of Allah. Now the throne of Allah is normally a term given to that area where angels come and go, you know, take their orders and go and execute their orders and all that. So any jinn that tries to penetrate outside the planet they have, right, is either killed or you see the falling star, shooting star as you call it. As far as our world is concerned, when disturbed, right, most of the possessions they come about when the jinns are disturbed. And mind you, Mombasa history is full of it. And coastal region, I don't know about Dar es Salaam, but Mombasa is Mombasa, remember Mr. Gulamsen Chakpar, right? He 5 o'clock in the morning, he suddenly saw a tap outside, open. You know, in the school there was a tap outside, so he went and closed. 5 o'clock in the morning, he was wondering what happened there. So he just closed it and he went back. As he was going back, he saw the tap itself open again. So he said, something must be wrong, you know. He went and he tried to close it again, and when he closed it, he got a slap. He went back home, because there the explanation was given that there must be a jinn, somebody, you know, using the water. In any case,
I don't understand, if they're in a different market, using our water, why would they live in a building? It's not there. Why would they sit in a tree?
I think they are in the same environment, but in a different kind of creation, you know.
It's a like different phase, isn't it? Different phase in dimension.
Different dimension.
You mentioned that they've been around for this period of time, etc., etc. But from how? Okay, I'm not doubting that, but we know this through
Quran.
No, the existence of jinns we know through the Quran. The long life.
How do we know about their habitats and how do we know this stuff?
A lot of hadiths is there. In fact, very few books have been written on the lifestyle or the lives of jinns.
I've got one, but it's written by Ibn Taymiyyah.
Not even
Ibn Taymiyyah.
Yeah,
yeah, I picked it up, the jinn, I picked it up in Jinda one.
Yeah.
And it's Taymiyyah in English. Hadith Sahih about them. About how the bone mati vadu meat na khaile wan mune, things like this.
Yeah,
you know.
But you said earlier, 25 years, has your hierarchy of the ancient and then mankind? No, man and jinn are as fucked. Okay, so there's a definition, there has to be good jinn and bad jinn. Absolutely. There are good jinns and there are bad jinns. Like there are good human beings and there are bad jinns. No, I'm just linking it to what Safraj mentioned earlier. Safraj is talking of sorcery.
No, but if jinns are doing this, then again, by logical definition, there has to be a good and there has to be a bad.
Absolutely, there is no doubt about that.
Now, sorcery as well.
Sorcery is the money, you see, sorcery as a word may be used as a term to describe bad things only. But the very metaphysical act, as you're saying,
jinn Udarama. What are people doing?
Yeah, exactly. Marum Glamas Kasmali used to
talk
about.
And other people do it as well.
There's the people, yeah, there are many other people who do it, right? But what happened?
I heard it was more a case of will, not so much faith. I suppose faith comes into it, but the strength of will, that you will not be overcome and you will overcome. That threatening, when you threaten no jinn and he threatens you back, it's a case of will.
Because you got to understand, yeah? The fear that can come about when you see the powers that a jinn possesses. The will may be there, but the will is driven by something. I think, what they call the best, if you ever come across a person, you think, and I've done that, I mean, this has happened to me in Mombasa several times. It's a young lad who happens to go into his spells, you know, trances. And immediately he enters into it, we know that this guy is now out of this world. He's not here. He's not with us. Right? It's as if he's possessed by a demon or by a jinn for that little time. And some teacher had told us, whenever this happens, all you have to do is to recite Kul A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Ilahin Nas, Min Sharri Waswasil Khannas. You recite that because that is seeking refuge in the power that Allah has, who has created us, who is nourishing us, and so on, right? From the evils of jinn and nas, right? So that surah, now it has to have that faith. The will. This is my understanding. The will is not enough. There has to be the faith.
They are not more powerful.
Let's not get this wrong.
The abilities,
if they are disturbed. You see, so far, I have come across instances where jinn will possess man only when either man attempts to possess the jinn first or when they are disturbed. Disturbed in their habitat, disturbed in their, sometimes it is just a reaction.
If you want to speak to someone who's actually seen one, talk to Mahmud Kaku.
Mahmud Kaku, he's seen one here.
Mahmud Kaku, I remember he came home, he actually made a point in Bhopal and came home and he was really shaky. Mahmud Kaku, in those days here, Leraba used to have a class, I don't know if you recall it. She used to have a stitch sewing class, you know. And he came and dropped her, and he was going away. So she called him back as he was driving away, I can't get into the annex. Well, the key that was provided to her was not turning properly. So he stopped the car, he came back and he opened it, it was very stiff. So he forced the door, and as he came in, there was a man in white. And he looked like this at him as if he had been disturbed, and then he disappeared. And that really shook him. So he came home to ask what it was, and Papa was telling him it's a jinn. He said, and I didn't know that it existed in this way. So, there you go.
Jaffer jinn.
Who hasn't heard of Jaffer jinn? You haven't heard of Jaffer jinn. Jaffer jinn is the name of the jinn that came to Imam Hussein al-Islam.
He passed away recently. According to Marum Bakarita, he said that
5-6 years ago,
he passed away.
Oh, Jafarji?
5-6 years ago? Yeah, this
is one of Haider.
Nice, possible.
Because Akka Haider was a personality. I mean,
yeah.
We can't. But Jafarji, you know,
Mutahari attacks this Jafarji story in his book.
He does.
Oh, yeah.
One of those complicated things.
There's a fabrication, for sure, through and through.
No, this is not sorcery. That is again power given by, again, look, let's put it this way. It is something that is beyond the capabilities of ordinary people, right? Sorcery, if she were to use it in a bad way, it would become sorcery. Because sorcery is a term given to evil magic, right? But this lady, she has amazing abilities, huh?
I've heard she's got amazing abilities.
Ekishna Shibaiche Moshima, right? She will tell you what is happening to you just by, you know, sometimes by taking a piece of cloth from you, or you tell her this is happening to me or happening to my son, and she will tell you, alright, call me tomorrow and I'll tell you exactly what is happening.
How is that working?
Exactly what is happening.
How is that working? She's got the power.
She's got the power.
All ulama have the same thing?
Not all ulama.
No, I mean quite a few.
Many scholars have had the power. Most of them have not declared that they have the power. Right? And many of them have just not, may just not have used it. But it requires a certain level of faith before you get the power. I mean, આ માલિમ બધા છે ને જે પૈસા લઈને મયાઈમાં કુરાન ની આયત લખે અર્ધા તો ઓડું બધા છે.
There is a way you can protect yourself against all this by just સદકો કાઢે, ફોર એક્ઝામ્પલ, અને they used to do that in the time of the Prophet, blow on these knots, these women. Blow on a knot, and they tried to do that to the Prophet. You blow on this knot in a piece of string and immediately you charm someone. And they tried to do that to the Prophet and they failed, and they wondered why they were failing, and then this Surah Falak mentions it, from the evil of the women who blow on knots.
So, there you go. This verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, as well as the few incidents we have talked about, proves that sorcery does exist. But what overrides sorcery, what overcomes sorcery, is our faith in Allah. Because in this very verse, Allah says, وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We come back to the same discussion we had before, that is this happening with Allah's consent or Allah's permission? Does that mean that it is Allah is happy about it? Right? You remember those discussions. It does not mean that Allah is happy about it. It only means that Allah has set forward a system in which these things will happen. But the one who is doing it is doing a wrong deed. And number two, if the person, the victim of sorcery, were to break from Allah, then Allah has the power to put an end to it. Right? And this is what is required of us. If we believe that there is somebody out to perform this kind of sorcery on us, right? Then all we have to do is to have that faith on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that nothing other than Allah can affect us. Nothing. Mind you, I personally believe, I am of the belief that it is the frame of mind, our mind, right, which dictates how much we are affected and influenced by events around us. If you tell me ki hu etlo bimar chu ave marva lagyo chu, if you have that kind of despair in your attitude, then you will die with that sickness. But yet you will see people with terminal illness live a long life because they have that frame of mind, there are two ways of looking at it. I personally believe, at the end of the day, if you tell me ki amara upar koi najar rakhu chhe ne koi, you know, koi ganga kheru chhe, right, then it will affect you.
There is a faith healing,
there was a
in the state
faith healing is now you can claim against health
insurance. I saw that program on TV.
Yeah. You can claim on health insurance that you have gone to a faith healer and they will pay for your treatment because they reckon it because they make you believe it. He tells you,
and it works.
I will you, and you mind. Then there's the rest.
You see that program, giving some.
The one about the Brazilian guy.
He just passed his hands, and this was they were doing a trial on. They're giving people who had certain, I think it was cancer or something, some education, and they give other people just a substitute.
Placebo
effect. They gave this guy the basically placebo medicine. And he had cancer and it went really small. But then you read in the newspapers that how he went to all the work and then it was very, and then it started growing again. And then the doctor gave, said to him, no, this is now a new thing. And again, it was nothing, it was just basically nothing. He gave it to him again, and again it went small. And again in the newspaper, you read that again it disappeared. And again it grew and he died.
It's like Bismillah al Hadithani. This scholar who had students coming and crossing the ferry and students used to come late every day. He can't tell his Raji, right?
Sayyid Razi.
The day he saw Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he was actually there. That day he could not cross. Right? It's the faith, it's the frame of mind in which we believe these things. That is how important it is, the attitude and the understanding.
Basically what Allah says, you can get into it, but you sell your hereafter if you get involved in this world, in this life.
Only the bad part of it.
Well, the good part of it as well.
Because the good part of it leads you.
No, what about the guy who took the taweez and did that? I mean, what's all that about?
You think he studied this? No,
I'm not saying, but is he...
It must be a terrific...
He is somebody who would not ever try to...
So what I'm saying is, you can have this art, provided you either don't abuse it or think good about it.
Why would you learn it?
Why did this guy learn it?
He did not.
Well, somebody gave it to him.
No, to remove a jinn, you don't need the art to possess it.
No, this guy who did the taweez about was talking about.
Or whom Lamba's Kasmali was talking about.
No, it's about taweez. Who said Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was talking
about. That was a pure sheer will, sheer belief.
Who gave it to him?
There was nothing. He wrote Bismillah, he didn't do anything else. But his belief in Bismillah was different from his students.
That's what I'm saying. It's just to support that some frame of mind thing.
You believe in you can do that yourself. You believe in it enough, it just has so much power.
But hold on, how come the parapositive thinking does not necessarily relate to religion, does it?
No.
So what are we actually saying here?
What I'm saying is that the belief you have in religion should have the power positive that you're talking about.
But it doesn't, it might be one element, but it's not a necessary element. I know lots of people who do not believe in religion whatsoever, who have very positive frames of mind with the purpose.
Who would be able to do wonders?
Absolutely. The same wonders that you might be able to do with your power, because your faith, your positive thinking is coming from religion, theirs might be coming from another source. So we don't think that religion is necessary for this.
No, what we're talking about here is that how religion is explaining this. It's regardless whether you think about it or not. Religion, Allah is Allah. But what we're talking about here is how does Islam explain it? That's it. We're not talking about that this is a miracle cure or only Muslims can do this or anything like that. Anyway,
but with religion, you would be a person with that power, positive faith on religion, will be able to do much more than a person without religion. We may say that is relative and subjective, but this is my understanding. Let's take the example of walking on water, right? In history, whenever you talk about walking on water, have you come across people without religious faith walking on water? So, with religious, yes. Right. This is what I'm saying. I mean, it's just an example. As far as normal life goes on, your health, your wealth, your mental state and all that, you can say that, religion does not have a bearing on that. But what I'm saying is that religion encourages that kind of mentality, that faith, right?
which is actually the power of positive thinking that you're talking about. Right? But with religion comes the secrets of much more power than one can imagine. I mean, talk of scholars, you look at scholars, the powers they had, right, were sought. I mean, you look at only one book of Tariqh Ulama, right? If you study that Hayat Ulama, if you study that scholars, the powers they had, right, of converting this cup, for example, they could hold this and turn it into gold. The Taus could hold that and it would turn into gold. But they will never misuse that power, never abuse that power. Fine, you were given that power.
Probably illusion.
But I'm saying, what is his view? They followed what the shaitans falsely related against Sulaiman's kingdom. What did they falsely relate? What did they try to say about Sulaiman's kingdom that was false? And who are these people who followed that? The Jews?
Can't just quote
the beginning of the verse.
وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا
تَتْلُوا الشَّيَاطِينُ عَلَى مُلْكِ
سُلَيْمَانَ. The shaitan made an accusation against Sulaiman's kingdom which was false.
What was that accusation? Allah has accused Kerala.
Can't you for accusation of false shabbat not your Muhammad?
Falsely related against
Sulaiman.
Ma tatlu, what does tatlu mean?
Tatlu is to recite.
Ala mulki shay, about Sulaiman.
Allah means against.
So what did they say?
Yeah, means against.
So what did they recite?
What did they say?
Yeah, that's what
that we have the power. This is what he's saying. The shaitan says, we have the power. Sulaiman has no such great power that we can do. So they followed this shaitan.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
They said,
Ha.
The disagreement on this verse is about Shaitan. No, the disagreements are a lot. Who followed who? Right?
I think basically there was this thing.
Is it from jinn or ins and so on, right?
Raman.
Alaykum salam.
Even men can be taught how to.
Exactly. This is what they followed this shaitan, because this shaitan was saying that whatever Sulaiman can do, we can do. Right? Ala mulki Sulaiman. Now, ala mulki Sulaiman, mulk is the authority. And again, there is a difference between scholars here, that mulki Sulaiman, is it the kingdom of Sulaiman, is it the subjects, that is the reign of Sulaiman. You know, all that.
There is another lesson here. Mm. That those people initially only followed Sulaiman because of the miracles.
So that was the sign that
but they
proved his prophethood.
But they only followed because of the sign, rather than with the logic or the reason. I mean, what is the sentence to us? That you want to see Mojizas? Is that the only reason you're going to follow? When look at
the
Mojizas, they send it.
It's a big reason for most people.
Yeah.
Most people need a sign.
More about Prophet Sulaiman in the Quran.
No, but Surah Naml Masjid. A sign is a sign. What people start doing is worshipping the sign.
No, but they're using the sign as a factor of believing, right? Or as a determinant of believing. If someone comes to me and gives me five miracles, I'm
not
believing.
No, a sign is only ID. I'm a prophet. Really? Show me your ID. How do I know? That's it. But if you start worshipping the sign, and the sign is because, then that's silly. Yeah, that's what happened to the Jews. They wanted more miracles. Yeah, give me another miracle. And even then they didn't believe.
I mean, I don't know about religious history, right? But that's how Islam was taught as well, right? The Prophet had certain miracles which he used to prove to the people that he's the right person.
Yeah, but what he was saying...
Therefore the people started to believe.
Yeah,
I mean,
what he was saying to them is, don't start worshipping my signs. Now listen to what I'm saying.
Mm.
That's the message.
Like,
the sign isn't the message. But in these cases, these people who followed Sulaiman only followed him because of the magic, and then somebody else came and said, well, I can do this. They said, okay, I'll follow you.
I think what happened was this Shayateen came and said he's your leader, and he under false pretenses. The sign that he claims that is his proof is not a sign really. It's commonplace. We'll teach you to do the same thing. So they attacked the credibility of Sulaiman. They went to the root of it. He said, look, he has proved himself over you because of what he can do. Well, I'll show you. You can do the same thing as well. So that he's no better than you.
Now, let me read you one riwayat that I took from the riwayat Shaykh has narrated. The Tafsir al-Ayashi wal-Qumi, وَاتَّبَعُوا مَا تَبْتُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Right? So they followed what the shaitan were reading. فَلَمَّا هَلَكَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَضَعَ إِبْلِيسُ السِّحْرُ وَكَتَبَهُ فِي كِتَابٍ ثُمَّ طَوَاهُ وَكَتَبَ عَلَى ظَهْرِهِ هذا ما وضع آسم بن بختية للملك سليمان بن داود من ذخائر قوة العلم من أراد كذا وكذا فليعمل كذا ثم دفن تحت سريره ثم استتار من لهم فقره فقال الكاتبون. You see when سليمان عليه السلام died, right? Something was taken out from the throne, from under the throne. And that was put there by Shaitan, who had written in the handwriting of Asim bin Bakhtiyah. Okay, this was used by Sulaiman. Mm-hmm. So when you need this, do this. When you need this, do this. All the secrets of sorcery. Right? So there, when this was exposed, excavated and exposed, this is how Sulaiman was doing it. So half of the people immediately say, ha! So Sulaiman only had control over us because he could do this. So if he did this, he could do it. There was no other reason. And the other half of the people who were believers, true believers, stood up and said, no, that is not the reason. The true reason why Sulaiman had control over us is because he was an appointed messenger of Allah. So those are the Mu'minun.
So this happened after Sulaiman's passing away.
فَلَمَّا حَلَكَ سُلَيْمَانَ. That means when Sulaiman alayhi salam died.
That is the word halaka.
He was no more
annihilated.
No.
Well, halaka is also used for common messages, end of era. Right. Any other questions?
Just one final question.
Sure.
Nabi Sulaiman passed away. I mean, practically speaking, the jinns just disappeared again? So what happened to that? Or we don't know?
So for a while they carried on working, so they thought he was alive.
Oh yeah, okay. But once, like the next prophet died, when he had control again only over people who are happy. I'm just trying to have a picture, I don't understand.
He didn't have to control Nabi Sulaiman Abaram Mashiki, there was never anyone after him in that kind of kingdom went wild.
Asif bin Balkhiyah, who succeeded
the animals when he was, became animals.
They were animals. The only difference was that Prophet Sulaiman could muster their force, right? He could call on the birds, he could call on the lions, he could call on the marines, the sea lions, right? His marines, right? And he would have a representation of all species in his court. And that is why the story of Hudud, right? إِنِّي لَا أَرَى الْهُدُودَ. I don't see the Hudud. Now, all this was his way of operating. The moment he died, most likely was the animals who were there were only those who were representing this beast. The rest were already in jungle, but Prophet Sulaiman had control that he could call on them anytime he wanted. The jinns also, the jinns were living normally. They had representation in the court of Prophet Sulaiman.
But normal people couldn't see these jinns.
No, at that time I think they could, or at least they could communicate. They could communicate, because communication is mentioned in the Quran.
No.
Yeah, I can bring it before you stand up from your throne.
So Asif bin Bakhtiya, I'll bring it before you drink.
So that means at least that communication.
But was he was a human. He was a wazir. He obviously could hear the jinn because he said, I'll bring it fast.
So Mashi Nabi Kuliman, who said it was a bad thing.
That's enough. Now, before we disperse.